Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This week's episode of Sci Guys is supported by Wrap's Clear on Plastics campaign. They have asked us to do an episode on bioplastics. Just bear in mind that Luke and Jap, as usual, have done no research, so best not to take anything they say as fact. Once you're done with this episode, hit the link in the description, follow Clear on Plastics, and learn more about plastics. Anyway, on with the show! Welcome to the Sci Guides, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Jamp and Luke Cutforth.
Yes, you are.
Greetings.
This week, we'll be talking about Regina George and the three R's.
Regina George.
One of the R's from
Regina
Mean Girls.
No.
No.
So no.
Regina is the...
She's the first R.
Yeah. The R that comes before all other R's.
In the beginning, there was Regina George.
Do you guys know what we're talking about today?
No. Oh wait. Reduce, reuse, recycle.
Right.
The three R's.
And what was the name of Regina George's little group in Mean Girls?
The Recyclers.
Mean Girls.
The what do you recycle?
The plastic.
Plastic?
Oh, the plastics! Yes! That's right.
Very good.
I've not seen Mean Girls in a very long time.
Capture Regina George and take her to a plastic recycling facility. End story.
Yes.
No.
Okay.
No, that's not quite the way to do it. There is a way to recycle plastics, but... so that's not quite
it. Oh, right. We leave her on the curb on Monday evening. Right, okay.
It's actually Tuesday in our area, but...
Wow. Get your recycling taken on Monday? Privilege.
Okay, so today we're going to be talking about plastics. We're going to be talking about bioplastics and recycling plastics. All thanks to Wrap.
Are they all different? Well, I guess we're going to find out.
We're going to find out. So first off, what are plastics?
Hydrocarbons. A specific part of hydrocarbons.
I was going to say carbon, so you did it better than me.
But they're also, it's very important that they're moldable. That's the key point, isn't it?
One could say it's important that they're plastic.
Well, yes,
yeah,
sure.
Like the brain. Yeah. Yep.
Okay, you're both on you're both on to something. Yeah, they are hydrocarbons, and they do have carbon in them.
They do.
But you guys are missing one very key point, which is the fact that they're polymers. Do you guys know what a polymer is?
Absolutely not. Well, maybe I do, but I don't know.
You might do.
I probably do.
Luke, what's a polymer, do you know?
It's not got anything to do with hydrocarbons, has it? No?
A little bit, it does, yeah.
Are they long chains?
That's right, yeah.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
So a plastic is any synthetic or semi-synthetic organic polymer, which basically just means it's a long chain of repeated hydrocarbons. So that's what makes a plastic a plastic. They've always got to have carbon and hydrogen in them, obviously, hydrocarbons. But you can make them from pretty much anything.
Ah.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is, in the movie Mean Girls, the main character wanted to sit at the dinner table with a group of long-chain hydrocarbons. Organic polymers.
Yeah, sure. I was saying
that's one
that.
Interpretation of that, Mean Girls. Yeah. Yes.
Let's just say that's what I was saying.
Okay, I'm on track.
Yeah. One could also say that I was using a metaphor, but I won't try and complicate things with that.
Well, you can take it literally.
There are the two possibilities, and both of them are valid.
So there are two different types. I mean, well, there are lots of different types of plastics, but two different types of plastics are thermoplastics and thermosetting plastics. Do you guys know what those are?
No.
Something to do with temperature.
That's
a good one, man. Did you learn Latin at school?
No. I'm just smart.
Wow. Basically, that's just got to do with whether you can heat them and then remold them, or once you've molded them, then they stick in place.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, like Luke said, being moldable is a key part of plastics. That's where the name comes from. Plastic, plasticity, moldability, effectively.
Cool.
Basically, you can deform them without them breaking.
Cool. That makes sense.
So there's lots of different properties of plastics. They're usually solids, but they could be amorphous solids, so they don't have a specific held shape. They could be crystalline or semi-crystalline. They can basically be whatever you want them to be.
Yeah.
They're usually not very good at conducting heat or electricity, which you would know. Basically, you kind of know all of this stuff about plastics already just through using them in daily life. But hearing them described scientifically is kind of interesting, because you have all this knowledge that you don't ever really think about.
You never think about it because you learn it so young.
Yeah, exactly. So, like I said, they're mostly insulators. They can be stiff, but then they can also be used as films. So you've got like polystyrene, which is stiff, and then you can have polyethylene films, which are thin and like sort of moldable.
Cling film. You
know? Yeah, like cling film.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Exactly. So many things are made from plastics. In fact, there's plastic in almost every facet of your life. Look around your room. In fact, stop right now. Look around your room or wherever you are, and I promise you, you will see something that has that's got plastic in it.
Yep. Microphone stand, cup. Yep.
I was looking for something. I was looking for something that didn't have plastic in it.
Yeah.
It's gonna be difficult to find something that doesn't have plastic in it.
That fabric bag
or
there.
Has SD used card? Well, that's the thing. It might actually have plastic in it. And even then, it might have used plastic in the production.
Yeah.
Even you.
Yeah, they're one of these things where when we invented them, they absolutely changed the world so quickly, didn't they?
They really did. So I've got, in a little bit, I've just got a really quick history of plastics, but I'll give you that right now. So initially, plant cellulose was the first raw material that we used for the earliest plastics, and this was way, way back. Mm-hmm. But then the first completely synthetic plastic was Bakelite. Do you have any idea when that might have been made?
1950.
I was going to say 1950.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys are off by quite a bit. It was 1907. So it was made by Leo Baekeland, and he coined the word plastics. So, like I said, they're like long chains of hydrocarbons. So you can make them from a lot of different things. In fact, you can make plastic from cornstarch, glycerin, and water, and something else, vinegar. You can make a plastic from that. You can make plastics using milk. You can make plastics from lots and lots of things. Yeah, I know. But what we generally use plastic, what we generally make plastics from now is oil and sometimes coal. So
this is going to be my next question, was I was thinking like, and we and the world are hoping to, in the next sort of 50 years, 100 years, move away from using petrol and diesel and a lot of oil-based products, right? Or like crude oil-based products, drilled oil-based products. And so I was wondering, can you make plastics out of something that isn't oil-based?
Oh, absolutely.
We'd like to kind of stop drilling that up if we can.
So that's exactly what we're going to be talking about at some point today. We're going to be talking about bioplastics, which are plastics made from different materials other than crude oil. So I'll leave that a little bit for later, because Luke, you spoiled it again. But how about this? I'll tell you how plastics are made. Yeah. Have you heard about how plastics are made? Because I can remember this from high school.
No.
It's stuck in my brain. I've obviously researched it just to make sure, but this is something that's stuck in my head about how plastics are made.
The only bit I remember is that you take the crude oil and then you separate it into the different chain lengths using a thing called... Oh, no, what's it called? It's like a big drum and like the different... layers like rise to different levels in the drum, something like that.
So you get the different fractions out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that process called?
What's the fractioning? I think.
Fractional distilling.
Fractional distilling, that's it.
Hell yeah.
This is stuff I never learned.
Distillation is similar to how they make whiskey. It's basically using the difference in boiling points of different substances. So you get something to boil off,
right?
And then you take that substance out, and then you separate your two substances with different boiling points. So in crude oil, there's different chain lengths of hydrocarbons, and those different chain lengths obviously have different boiling points, because some of them are longer, so they'll have higher boiling points, and some of them are shorter, so they'll have lower boiling points. So you basically just need to heat it up, and they'll separate themselves out effectively.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very straightforward. I say it's very straightforward.
It does seem very complicated.
It's very complicated, but learning it, it's not too difficult to get.
I haven't given much thought to how plastics are made.
Yeah, it's...
I've always given more thought to how they're, like, disposed of.
The fact that plastics are made out of dinosaurs is a little bit... It's a little bit odd, isn't it? Like, prehistoric
dinosaurs
animals.
Dinosaurs in my room.
Exactly. They're everywhere.
Isn't it mostly plants and, like, microbial life?
Yeah, it's mostly...
Because I always get that vegan as plastic. A vegan. You're like, you can't use anything that's made out of any petrol ever because it's made out of dinosaurs. And I'm like, like, a tiny, tiny percentage of it will be made out of dinosaurs. Most of it is tiny little
old
microbial
and
like crustaceans and things like that, which are still, you know, still should cut down on it, but, like... You know, it's not dinosaurs.
I mean, but also they were long cool. dead before they were long dead before they became crude oil. I think
you
it's fine.
Luke Cutforth personally killed the dinosaurs in order to power his car.
So terrible of you. So yeah, you extract the raw materials, crude oil, natural gas, but sometimes coal, and then you go through fractional distillation to separate them out. So you get you can get monomers, which are like kind of one single block. Which right. that you can then join up together to make a long chain polymer.
Mm-hmm. One thing that fascinates me about this is that we have two things happening in our world right now, which are so important. Obviously, there's loads of important things happening, but we think of like our transition into helping become more sustainable, for example, mm-hmm. will happen by people like me and you, like making conscious decisions to cut down our use of petrol. So we will use public transport, and like, I bought a hybrid car rather than a non-hybrid car when I had to buy a car, and trying your best to cut down on plastic use and all that kind of thing. But probably what will happen with the actual transition to a better world is that two things will happen. The invention of better electric batteries will mean that we will have more electric cars, mm-hmm. and what Corey is about to talk about, which is the invention of bioplastics, which means we can make plastics without digging up oil from the floor. And then you kind of just eliminate the demand for oil. The oil market will just crash on its own because there's no demand for it, rather than because we're not using it, because there'll always be demand from it from things like military and from packaging for food and all these kind of things. Like, those are hard things to change without a good replacement. And that's where most of the plastic and stuff goes.
Well, it's the same as veganism, isn't it? You just need to get rid of... You can't get rid of the demand for something. You can just change the source that it comes from. Mm-hmm. So instead of getting rid of the demand for meat, you just make meat substitutes that are basically the same as meat and probably cheaper and better for you. And people will end up going for those.
Yeah, absolutely.
Humans are... it's just a substitute thing. Humans are very, very easy to deal with. Yeah. You just substitute one thing out for something else.
But we're also very, very lazy. Unless really pushed into something, we're fairly lazy. And so, yeah, you're right. Creating the substitute is the most important thing to catch most of the population and change the world.
It's absolutely one of the most important things. And I think another really important thing is changing our mindset on it and changing the way that we act. I mean, you saw this when plastic was invented. It was basically made as this disposable thing. Mm-hmm. So you have a plastic cup, you can chuck it away.
Quick use, and then you just dispose of it.
Yeah, single-use plastics are a massive thing. And way back then, when it was first invented, they weren't recyclable. So people would just throw them out, and plastics are obviously very durable. That's one of their properties. So they last for a long time.
Yeah, gets thrown into landfill, and they don't break down. Is it like thousands of years?
It could take a long time, yeah. So what the plastic industry came up with was recycling, which basically just means taking the plastic that you've already made and turning that into new plastic. And that's probably one of the most important things to do, because obviously you can change where you're getting the plastic from, but if you're using bioplastics and chucking them out, you're still causing the exact same problem.
Mm. Yeah. Do they degrade quicker, bioplastics, or is it? It's not really the point, is it?
That's not the point. So, I mean, I'll get more into the pros and cons of bioplastics later, but ultimately recycling is just as important, if not more important, than finding a new source.
See, what I wonder about that is that this may be a really stupid question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. With bioplastics, right, part of what we're going to have to do is to take as much carbon out of the atmosphere as possible. And the growing, I mean, I'm assuming the process of growing whatever we then turn into bioplastics is a plant. And the process of growing that plant will take carbon out of the atmosphere, I think. And so is it still the case, again, probably a stupid question because it is reduce first, then reuse second, then recycle third. Mm. But is it still the case that we would then be trying to reuse as much of the bioplastics we eventually create? Or do we actually kind of want to create a demand for bioplastics so that the production of plant matter has an industry and therefore takes carbon out of the air in that process?
So in my mind, I would say that that is an interesting question. Like, obviously, we want to keep it running. But if we're recycling plastics, then it doesn't really matter how well that industry is doing because it's only taking carbon out of the atmosphere that's going back into it anyway.
Yes.
So, yeah. I mean, you know, when those hydrocarbons break down, they make their way back into the carbon cycle.
Yeah.
And so but they will be...
That is...
So effectively, what you're doing... The thing with bioplastics is what you're doing is you're taking carbon out of the atmosphere and you're putting it back into the atmosphere, but it was already there. Whereas with oil, what you're doing is you're taking carbon out of deep down in the ground, which isn't in the carbon cycle, and shoving it back into the carbon cycle.
Yeah. So we're kind of creating an artificial layer of the natural carbon cycle because it's not putting more carbon in. As long as we also, the production of making the bioplastics is with renewable energy, we're not putting any more carbon into the atmosphere. We might end up creating this, like all the things we currently think we have to reduce on, we might end up in this wonderful utopia where we can actually use a decent amount of them because they're not making the world worse anymore because it's coming from plants and the energy required to make it is coming from the sun.
So that's really interesting. That's one of Rapp's points, actually. If you head over to Rapp and read what they're on about, one of the things that they've said is that just completely reducing our plastic use isn't necessarily possible because plastic is really convenient.
Obviously. Yeah.
You can use it for a lot of things. It's good for food storage. It keeps there's not really anything else that you can use to store food that does the job quite as well as plastic because it's durable and has an airtight seal and it's cheap. It's cheap to make.
Yeah.
So yeah, ideally we would want to be able to get to a point where we're recycling a lot of bioplastics and keeping it that way rather than saying, okay, let's get rid of all plastics and try and find a completely new resource. Mm-hmm. It's actually kind of interesting that we're doing this episode not long after doing our climate change one. Because that provided a really good base layer for this whole carbon cycle thing. And yeah, what we are doing with plastics is effectively saying, okay, all this carbon that's locked away out of the cycle, let's just bring it back in and shove it in.
Sure.
And on top of that, one of the issues is that more than 18 trillion pounds of plastic have been produced since the start of plastic production. And 18 billion pounds of plastic flows into the ocean every single year. And then, so with plastic making its way into the ocean, I've spoken about microplastics before. Effectively, it can break down into smaller and smaller particles where it gets into fish and then it gets into our food cycle. So there's probably plastic in you right now. Just through it being its way up the food chain.
Yeah.
And that's obviously something that we want to stop.
Probably not us though, because none of us eat meat or fish. There'll still be some in there.
You'll still be in the water.
We'll have drunk it and stuff. Yeah. But significantly less than the average person, I would hope.
One would hope,
Does that does mean that because plastics have, I mean, I'm sure we'll find out later when you tell us that but James was saying like, are these broken down more easily? When we're talking about the potential, I'm talking about the potential for us to actually, it'd be quite a good thing to use plastic in this sense, in that it's taking carbon out of the atmosphere temporarily. It still has the bad effects. And I'm assuming these plastics are not necessarily better if they get into the sea than the plastics we're currently using. Or are they?
So the interesting thing about that is that people misunderstand what bioplastics means. And I'll get into what it really means a little bit later on, but I'll just say now that bioplastics doesn't necessarily mean plastic that's biodegradable or better for the environment. It just means it's a different source. So instead of using oil to make it, we're using other products. So they can have the exact same properties as
something organic, I'm assuming.
Well, it's all technically organic in the scientific sense because it's got carbon and hydrogen in it. My point being that you can, it's just using, it's like using two different woods to make a table. It's right. still a table. You can still put stuff on it.
Functionally the same thing.
Yeah, right. It functions the same. And like you can make different kinds of bioplastics, but ultimately don't understand bioplastic as meaning 100% biodegradable plastic. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know? So like I said, plastic is a big issue that we're facing right now. And it's not something that we really knew we would run into when we started producing plastics. I mean, we didn't really know how big plastic was going to be. When we started off, we were making, you know, however much. And then during World War II in the United States, it increased by 300%, which is ridiculous. The plastic production increasing 300% during World War II, because it was used in so many different things. It was used, Perspex was made, which was used instead of glass, obviously, in just loads of different facets. And then kind of after that, we started using plastic more and more and more. And it wasn't until later on that we realized this stuff doesn't break down, and that might be a problem.
Yeah.
I really feel like that's very much the human race, that we kind of just do something and then think about the consequences later.
You think.
Like, well, I think that's a little... I mean, I think...
To be fair, it seems quite innocent on the surface, doesn't it?
But look at smoking, you know?
Yeah. I mean, this is how we learn.
Known.
We learn by making horrible
mistakes. Horrible mistakes.
And thalidomide. I mean, come on, man.
I've been watching some lectures by Neil deGrasse Tyson recently, and he was talking about how on the frontier of science, you make horrible mistakes. And that is not something that we know how to stop right now. It is just a product of being on the frontier. And like, we kind of have two choices. Either we make loads of mistakes and potentially lead ourselves to a better world, or we don't make mistakes, but we don't get innovation. Right now, we don't seem to have a solution to that. So maybe we should give the boomers a bit of a break.
No, okay. And they're not the worst for making massive mistakes. We're almost certainly making massive mistakes right now.
Absolutely, and we will be blamed for it.
I think
20, 30 years
that's
from
true.
Now.
I just think the point is that I would make is that we make massive mistakes, but we need to be prepared to fix them. Because right now there's so much struggle against fixing this massive plastic problem that we've got. And obviously some people are saying, well, why can't we just ban all of the plastic packaging?
That to me just shows massive naivety of how complex the issue is. That's like, obviously that's not going to work.
Yeah. I mean, like we'll just ban all the plastic packaging. Yeah, exactly. Food will go off. Hygiene standards for things will go down because you can make plastic to be sterile and be a physical barrier against all of those things. It's watertight and it weighs less than a lot of stuff. So if you were to use an alternative, the amount of fuel that you use to transport things could shoot up. And it's durable, it's long at lasting, and you can make plastic because it's moldable. You can make it fit almost anything you want. I mean, people will sometimes complain about certain foods being stored in plastic packaging when they can easily be stored in something else. So say oranges or sliced up fruits, things like that. And what people don't think about is that it's incredible for disabled people. If you're not physically able to say, chop up an onion or peel an orange or drink from a glass, then using, having all of that there
in a convenient, nice little package.
Exactly.
I agree with you, but I don't think that's why they're doing it.
It's not
there for disabled people. It's there for lazy people.
Okay,
mostly.
Here's the thing. Inventions that are made for lazy people end up changing the lives of disabled people. Either that or they're marketed for lazy people just so that disabled people can have them. If you look at any of these infomercials with all these ridiculous products, you're like, why would someone need to use this?
Yeah.
Right.
Think about someone that isn't necessarily
able to... An able-bodied person
someone
wouldn't necessarily
could end up relying on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Some people genuinely rely on those things. So that's the thing. A lot of people rely on plastic and we just don't have an alternative to it right now.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is by loads of people existing who are really lazy, it allows disabled people to enjoy the benefits of mass market production. Great.
Jesus Christ.
That's true. That is true. Because if there weren't people using the product who didn't necessarily, quote, need the product, then the product would be more expensive for the people who do need it.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That is, I'm not promoting laziness.
You're just saying it's a very happy accident.
I'm saying that plastic is necessary for some people, and it's not just a case of getting rid of it altogether.
Lazy people make that possible.
Oh my lord. Anyway, we can't just ban all plastic packaging, obviously, so we need to then find alternatives, and one of those might be bioplastics. So What is a bioplastic? I have mentioned it already, so can you guys remember?
Well, I've already taken a guess, haven't I? I said organic, but apparently everything's organic.
A plastic that is created from a biological source. It is grown.
That's what I meant by organic.
Okay, so a bioplastic... Okay, remember the oil comes from a biological source?
Yes, yes.
So
that's a fresh biological byproduct source. Whereas I would say, I'm guessing a bioplastic is something that we grow or is excreted by something alive.
Okay, so the definition that I've got here for bioplastic is...
Is SCOBY a bioplastic?
It's not really a... Is it a plastic? I don't think it's a plastic, technically.
Yeah.
It might be a polymer. So it's just because it's a polymer doesn't make it a plastic. So we do, there are, that's the thing. There are all plastics are polymers, but not all polymers are plastics. Mm-hmm. There are polymers like cellulose. Mm-hmm. There are polymers like starch. Mm-hmm. All of these things are polymers, but they're not necessarily, even spider's webs, I'm fairly sure are made from polymers, but they're not necessarily plastics.
Right. Okay.
The plastics are the specific man-made. Man-made polymers.
That makes sense.
Yeah, okay, so shall I tell you what a bioplastic is?
Yeah, please.
Please do.
So a bioplastic, the definition that I've got here, is just a plastic that's made from plant or other biological material instead of oil or petroleum.
Right, so it's not... So we're not growing, say, a bacterium that excretes excretes hydrocarbons, then?
Well, that's the thing. A plant or other biological material, a bacterium is another biological material. So, I mean, it can come
We make the plastic out of the.
So, I'll tell you. So, there are different.
It's an unimportant distinction.
So it's basically made from something that's renewable, like a renewable biomass. So that could be lignin, cellulose, or hemicellulose. So cellulose is. Do you know what cellulose is?
These are all words I don't know.
Cellulose, yeah, it's the cell wall of a plant cell, is it not?
Yeah, double check that, please. That's what cellulose is. Lignin is what is part of what makes trees stand up.
Ah,
cellulose is a molecule consisting of hundreds and sometimes even thousands of carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen atoms. Cellulose is the main substance in the walls of plant cells, helping plants to remain stiff and upright.
Success!
Well done!
Thank you!
And you've won the £1 million.
So yeah, you can make it from those polymers in plants. You can make it from recycled food waste. You can make it from bacteria, carbohydrates, so like sugars from sugarcane, vegetable fats and oils. So you could make it from... You can make it from all of these different sources. So the key point about them being renewable is that you're taking carbon out of the atmosphere to make them, so that when you're putting that carbon back in, it's already been taken out. It's a cycle that that kind of feeds itself and doesn't.
Yeah,
and it can basically be more towards a net zero.
Kind of what we were talking about earlier. You're not taking it from deep within the earth.
Yeah, the source of it doesn't deplete as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Whereas with oil,
very true.
Yeah, whereas with oil, we're
gonna run out of oil one day.
The well is gonna run dry, and we're gonna have to wait thousands and thousands of years for more to be made.
For more dinosaurs to die.
Yeah, this is what I think. Here's my plan, right? Scrap all of this plastic stuff, right? And then we just make a Jurassic Park, right? Then we kill all the dinosaurs,
they run to something,
and we just wait for a bit. We just wait for them to turn to oil.
Squash them really hard.
Jurassic Park makes oil renewable.
Exactly. We just stamp on them like they do with grapes. I'm sure that'll work.
Wow.
That'll work, yeah. We could get other dinosaurs to do the stamping.
Oh my God, and then it's a renewable cycle of dinosaurs.
You can get the T-Rexes to stamp on those tiny little ones that run around.
Yeah. Wow, that's good. That's good. We've solved it. Podcast over.
Dinosaur wine, essentially.
Cool, see you later, guys.
Winosaurs.
So good.
What's the next problem for us to solve?
So bioplastics basically made from a renewable source. So that is great. It's a step up from making them from oil. But if you just produce a bunch of bioplastics and then chuck them out, you still have a big problem because you've still got a massive increase of plastics just flowing into the oceans. Mm-hmm. So what would the solution to that be?
A way to break them down?
Well, yeah. So there are basically two solutions.
Plastics that dissolve in water.
So you do have those, but then obviously...
No, James, then you wouldn't have water bottles.
Here, I love my water... Oh!
What if we coat that plastic in another layer of plastic that doesn't dissolve
in
water?
We're using more plastic, man.
How do you get rid of that plastic? Oh, here's what we do.
Dissolves in something else.
Air, right? You've got one plastic that dissolves in air and one plastic that dissolves in water. The Perfect. Inside is the one that dissolves in air and the outside is the one that dissolves in water.
You have nailed this.
Yeah, perfect. Just don't get it wet while you're drinking it, or it's just gonna.
Yeah.
So you drink it.
Hold on.
You wait for rain.
You have to drink it all
and
in
hold
one
it
gulp.
Up, so that the rain dissolves the water dissolvable layer.
That means as soon as you finish your water, the inside layer that dissolves in air would immediately dissolve, and there you have a water bottle that can never be used again.
It's perfect.
If you put water in it, it dissolves.
That's perfect. Amazing.
It would dissolve as you drank it.
Yeah, so you have to drink it all. To drink it all in one gulp.
Oh, no.
Just lots of tiny little water bottles. Just one mouthful. Done. Yeah, so you can make plastics that break down, and you do have some that break down in water. That'd be actually a really interesting thing for us to do. We should do that, shouldn't we?
We should try it, yeah.
Why don't we try it?
A little extra thing on our YouTube channel, maybe.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. That'd be fun. Check that out. We'll be doing that at some point. We'll be making our own plastic. So you can make plastic that breaks down in water, or you can make plastic that's biodegradable, but obviously plastic that breaks down in water isn't necessarily what we want for everything, because the world is very wet.
Yeah, it is quite wet.
It's
fair.
A fairly wet place. So,
especially here in England.
And also, is it desirable to have dissolved plastic in the oceans?
Yeah, you don't necessarily want plastic dissolved in your oceans. That is another problem. But you can have biodegradable plastic, which we've spoken about a little bit already, which is quite good. But as I've said, we don't necessarily have the infrastructure to deal with that. And also, Luke, you look like you realized something.
Is this the thing where we are developing microorganisms like bacteria that eat plastic?
So yeah, we do have all of these.
What?
We do have all of these kind of solutions to it, but ultimately we are still, that's still an issue, because we still got a massive production of plastic. So the logical after you've gotten rid of the biodegradable, you've gotten rid of all the other ones, is to look at recycling. Mm-hmm. And recycling is still a massive thing that we should be doing, even if we have bioplastics, mm-hmm. because it keeps it as a closed cycle. It means even if we didn't use bioplastics at all, if we completely said we threw out the idea of bioplastics and we just recycled, then we'd have the same effect of reducing our oil usage to basically zero, because we'd only be using plastic that had already been made.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we're not using any more oil. We're just reusing the plastic that we've already made.
That assumes that demand for plastic will not go up, though, which it probably will.
We've already we've already made a lot of plastic.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, even if
a lot of which isn't being used anymore,
we can find it all.
So we've been talking a lot about biodegradable plastics, but the thing is that biodegradable obviously doesn't mean anything on its own, because biodegradable just means it can break down in the environment. But if it's compostable, that's what you need to focus on. But then again, neither of those are necessarily the best case, because they don't contribute any nutrients into the soil.
What is the difference between biodegradable and compostable for people?
Compostable means that it...
I don't know.
Compostable just means that it can be used in composting. Like, it can break down in a compost environment.
Cool.
So biodegradable is a broader term that just means it can break down in the environment.
Easily.
Compostable means that you can put it in your compost bin.
Right.
Eventually. Cool. Yeah.
And if it composts,
yes.
Does it become available? So it doesn't, it just is just there, but it's not like helpful. Like the carbon and the hydrogen are not helpful to the plants that then grow in that compost.
No, because if you think about it, where do plants get their carbon from?
The air.
Exactly. Mm. So you're putting carbon into the soil and it's not then bioavailable. You're still kind of funneling this all out of the economy, which...
Yeah.
So while it
so
is,
I assume you're going to tell us something amazing where we can use it. So we have a thing that can use it as food and then turns it into energy that we can use.
I would love to tell you that. That would be great if we had that. If you've got that sitting in your back pocket,
it might be in the drawer. Actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Pull it on out.
Yeah.
Oh, and if you've got that perpetual motion device, yeah, that'd also be really useful.
I unfortunately, I just lost it.
Oh,
God. I can make another one. Don't worry.
It left and it just kept going.
It must have been done that.
It just wouldn't stop.
Rolled away.
Forever.
Just kept on getting faster and faster and faster and faster.
Well, if it rolls away, eventually it will come back because it will go around the whole globe and I'll just see it coming the opposite way down the street.
It's just going to get fast enough to like leave Earth's orbit and then it's gone forever, man. Yeah, that thing is lost. No, what I will tell you is what we've been talking about this whole time is recycling. So recycling keeps plastic in the economy, which is why it's the one that we should really focus on. Mm. Because all these other things are great, but also none of them necessarily fix the problem quite as well as recycling. Mm-hmm. So do you guys know how plastic recycling works?
Is it chipped up into little pieces first? I don't really know.
I'm sorry, I just love the way that you said that. That's not actually wrong.
Chipped up.
Cool.
I realized I didn't know how recycling properly worked. I just had a basic idea that I think I watched Come Outside as a kid and they showed it on that and that might have been it.
I've always wondered because you can't like burn plastic because it just turns into like smelly oily
stuff. You absolutely can burn plastic. No, as in I've done it in a fireplace. Like I'm not saying you can burn plastic.
You melt plastic.
So I'll tell you the basic process, then I'll break that a little bit more in depth for you. So initially they're sorted by polymer type. So they're sorted by basically the type of plastic that they are.
Yeah.
Then they're shredded, then they're washed, then they're melted, and then they're turned into pellets, and then they're made into new products. So it's basically a two-stage process. So you basically sort things automatically. And make sure that all of the contaminants have been removed. So all of the food, all of the, like, you know, the papers and anything that isn't plastic and can be recycled is removed. So once it's sorted and cleaned, it can either be shredded into flakes or melt processed to form little pellets, which are then molded into new plastics. So it's pretty straightforward. In fact, it's more simplistic than I thought it would be. Obviously it's more complex behind that, but it's a very straightforward process. You basically just get plastic and reshape it into new plastic. That's the great thing about plastic. I mean, this fantastic thing that we made, we thought it was a massive problem, but actually the problem is just, it's still plastic. We can just make it into more plastic.
Other stuff. It's the same stuff.
It's fantastic. A brilliant, I would say invention, but it's more of a discovery really, isn't it?
Is it?
I would say it's a discovery. Because you've got things that are effectively plastics, but in the natural world,
I was going to say, is there plastic in nature?
Yeah, well, we don't call it plastic. So there's polymers in nature.
Okay. Right.
But and there's polymers that are kind of like plastics in nature. In fact, a lot of plastics came from trying to find alternatives to those natural materials. So shellac. Mm-hmm. Shellac, do you know what that is?
I've heard of it. I don't know what it is.
I've heard of it, no.
You guys should both know what it is because you need to avoid it on sweets.
Really?
Yeah. So it can be used as a sort of glazing agent for sweets. Jelly beans use it to make them shiny.
Is this the stuff that comes from like beetles or something?
Yeah, exactly. So it comes from a beetle. It's like a sort of, I think it's an excretion of a beetle. And you can use it for lots of different things. But the issue is that obviously if you're getting it from a beetle, there's a limit to how much you can process at once.
Right.
So a very specific kind of plastic was made to replace that. And then plastic just kind of exploded, not literally, obviously, but they boomed and we started making them for everything because we realized this is a really great thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would say it's more of a discovery than an invention.
I guess so, yeah.
In that sense. So if we reuse and recycle plastics, then we can conserve oil. So we're not using up more oil. We're reducing the amount of energy we use to produce new plastic because that's another thing. Recycling is obviously it can take less energy than it would take to make new plastic, you know.
Yeah.
So that's a great thing. So we reduced energy consumption. There's less solid waste going to landfills because it's the plastic waste is being recycled into new plastic, and there are less emissions in the atmosphere because we're not just chucking out and like break down over a long, long time.
Yeah.
And we're not using all of that energy to produce it. Obviously, we can't recycle every kind of plastic, so we kind of need to be aware of what plastics we can and can't recycle. And obviously, you can find that in your local area because it can differ slightly in local areas. But plastic bottles are one of the biggest things that you pretty much absolutely can recycle.
Yeah.
And that's something we should be recycling.
Something most people use very often as well.
Yeah, exactly. You use it a lot. So if you're going to use a plastic bottle, you should absolutely be recycling it. But then you can make so many different things from recycled plastics. I've seen pencils and stuff made from recycled plastics.
Pencils?
Yeah, but you can have flower pots, seed trays, like wheelie bins, like loads of things, like drinks bottles, food trays, polyester fabric from clothing. So you can have clothes that are made from recycled plastics. So recycled plastics are very
and
versatile.
And they're so soft. Rachel, my housemate, has a a plastic hoodie made from recycled polymers, and it's so soft. I was like, that can't possibly be soft because it's made of plastic, and I think of plastic is like hard and brittle, and
yeah,
it's so soft.
It's amazing. Honestly, there's so many different things you can make from recycled plastic. So it's, I mean, it's absolutely the way to go. We can't just think of like, oh, you know, I'll just chuck it out and it's fine.
Yeah,
that's the one thing that everyone can be doing. That's the one personal choice that you can make that will really impact. Like our plastic waste by just recycling.
One day I want to release some SciGuys merch that's made from recycled plastic.
So that is just a brief history on plastics.
Nice.
Yeah, it's very nice, isn't it? And if you want to know how to make your own plastics, maybe we'll be showing you how to do that later on in the week.
We'll be throwing something up on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, we might do.
Maybe our Instagram.
A little bite-sized piece of SciGuys content for you.
SciGuys bite-size.
SciGuys bite-size. I quite like that.
Trademark that right now, James.
Don't think we've forgotten the quickfire quiz round. We've got that over on Rap Clear on Plastics Instagram page. So if you would like to play along with us, then hit the link in the description and join in.
Thank you for watching. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Sunday, and why not leave us a nice wee comment? You can support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys, or you can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Or send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com. I'm Not Corey Everywhere.
I'm Jamkin Everywhere.
I'm Luke Cutforth Everywhere.
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye.
Thank you again to Rap's Clear on Plastics campaign for supporting this episode, and goodbye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.